We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 2435. And we had learned how Pharaoh was ill for 10 years. And then Pharaoh broke out in boils and he had a stomach illness. And then two of his eunuchs came from Goshen and they said, the Jews are lazy at their work. And Pharaoh said, must be the Jews are mocking me. They know I'm ill, so quickly prepare my chariot. I'm going out to Goshen. So they prepared his chariot, and they rode him out there on a horse because he couldn't really ride. He took with him 20 horsemen and 10 foot soldiers. And as he reached the edge of Egypt, so there was a thin strip where his horse passed, and there was a deep ravine on the side. And the horses ran, and they pushed one another, and Pharaoh's horse fell, and the chariot turned on Pharaoh, overturned upon him, and one of the horses landed on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had broken bones, and his skin tore, and he couldn't ride. So they carried him slowly back to Egypt. And they lay him in his bed, and he knew that that's it. He's about to die. So he called in the queen and his nobles, and everyone wept with him. And he took counsel, and they decided to appoint a king in his stead. So he had three sons, and we said his eldest was Ataro. And Ataro was a guy who was out of control. And Adikam, his second son, was very sly and very evil and very short. He was one amma high. And the king decided that he's going to appoint his second son, Adikam, in his stead. So he took a wife for his son Adikam. Now, Adikam was 10 years old. He took a wife, Giduda. And then he had four children with her. And then he took three more wives and had eight more children and three daughters. And as the king got more and more ill, so his flesh started rotting. And he saw that that's it, he's finished. So he appointed his son Adikam. And even though he thought he was on the verge of dying, he lived for another 3 years. And then he rotted to death. And when he died, even though in Egypt ordinarily they would mummify their kings, they couldn't come near him. They couldn't touch him. So they quickly buried him because no one wanted to touch the carcass of what was left of him, whatever illnesses he had. And this was part of Hashem's paying him back for his evil ways. So we move on to the year 2436. And in 13 years, the Jews are going to come out of Egypt, right? 2448. So right now we're in 2436. So in 13 years, Bezalel is going to be 13 years old. So in the year 2436, Bezalel is born. 2 years later, 2438, Rahav is born. Who is Rahav? She is the woman who helped the spies when we came into Israel. That's going to happen in 51 years. Rahav is going to be 51 years when we enter Israel. She's the woman of ill repute who took in the two spies, right? And Joshua ended up marrying her. So we move forward to the year 2444, okay? 4 years before we leave Egypt. We're going to leave 2448. We're in the year 2444. Adikam is 20 years old. Remember, earlier, his father was ill. He appointed him. He's been king 4 years. And we've been in Egypt for 206 years. We have four more years till we leave. They named him Pharaoh, because that's how they called the Egyptian kings. And the wise men of Egypt called him Avuz. Okay? That was the slang in Egypt for his kingdom's name. So remember, He was one amma tall, very short, and he had a beard that reached down to his feet. There are other sources that say that his name was Ma'adan, and he was given the nickname Telma or Talma. I don't know how you pronounce that. I guess that's supposed to be like Ptolemy. Yeah? Telma, Talmi. I don't know how to pronounce it. So that's there are sources that call him that. Other sources call him Edix. Isn't that one of the names of the Egyptian kings? How do you pronounce that? I don't know. In English, I pronounce that. So at that time, the Egyptians saw in their sky a red star that looked like it was on fire, and they decided that boded ill for them. That was a bad omen. It's possible that's why the Egyptians said, "Re'u ki ra'a neged b'neichem." Watch out, we see evil out in the skies if you head out to the desert. Now, remember, this guy was very evil, Adikam. So he was the most wicked king the Jews ever encountered. And so he traveled out to Goshen to personally ensure that the Jews were suffering and working hard. And he said, I don't want them to lift their hands from the work. They shouldn't have a break at all. They'll go to sleep at the work sites. I want you to work as hard as you ever did. And he appointed Jewish policemen, and above the Jewish policemen, he appointed slaves who would beat them. And every day they'd have a quota they'd have to live up to. And the Egyptian slaves who were beating them would say, any time you miss a quota, we put in a Jewish child instead of that brick. So Jewish children will die if you don't live up to your quota. So they would forcibly come and take children from their mother's laps and throw them into the mortar if they didn't live up to the quota. And the parents would weep as they saw their children crying to death in the walls that they were building. And this happened day after day. And they had 270 Jewish children at that time who were killed in this fashion. Moshe was still in jail. Remember when he came out to Midian, so Yisro was scared that Pharaoh heard that he took in the fugitive, Pharaoh would have his head. So he threw Moshe into a dungeon and did not feed him and thought that Moshe would die. And what he didn't know is that his own daughter Tzipora went every day and brought Moshe food. Now, remember the Edomite king Baal Hanan ben Achbor, he passed away that year. And the people of Esav, they knew they needed a new king. They took a new king named Hadar. He's going to be king for 48 years. And at that year, Tzipporah comes to her father and says, you remember that Egyptian who came here 10 years ago? Whatever happened with him? So Reuel says, he's dead for 10 years. And she says, that's strange, because I walked by that pit the other day where you put him in that dungeon, and I heard noises down there. So he says, that's strange, because animals would have eaten his body a long time ago. What would be down there? He says, let me go look. So he goes down to the dungeon, and he finds Moshe alive and well. And he looks at him and says, how'd you do that? You're an angel. Well, if God let you live for 10 years without food, you're out. And he takes him out, and he allows him to marry his own daughter Tzipporah. Our sages say that Tzipporah was pious like Sarah, Rivka, Rachaleah, like the matriarchs. So they have the first son, Gershom. And our sages say an interesting medrash. Our sages say that Yisro refused to have him circumcised and that Moshe conceded. Moshe did not circumcise Gershom at that point. And then he had another son and he named him Eliezer. So Moshe is watching Yisro's sheep out in the desert. And as he's watching them, a young sheep runs away. And he chases after the sheep. And he comes to a mountain which we will later call Mount Sinai. And that's where he sees the vision of the burning bush. And for 7 days, Hashem tells him, go take the Jews out of Egypt. And for 7 days, Moshe says no. Now, Moshe also asks Hashem, he says, I have philosophical questions, I don't understand. And so he has a long philosophical conversation with Hashem that lasts 7 days, in which he's asking Hashem, he's saying, you know, I look at the world, I got questions. He's 80 years old, right? Or 79, or I guess if he's saying this happened that year, So that year he was 76. Say 76 if this happened that year. But after 76 years on this planet, he had a lot of questions. So in the first vision, he's allowed to ask a lot of questions. And one of the main questions he's discussing with Hashem is, how come there are pious people that suffer and wicked people that seem to have it good? So for 7 days, Hashem tells him, go, take the Jews out of Egypt. And he refuses. Until finally, Hashem tells him, don't worry, your brother Aaron's going to be happy, and he agrees. And now Moshe and Aaron have to come to Pharaoh's palace. Hashem has sent him, he summons the elders, and he has to go into the palace. And when they come to the palace, in front of the palace, you had two young lions there. And no one could enter before the king, because unless the king ordered, and they would put these lions to sleep, or in cages, no one would dare enter the palace. Because you didn't have dogs in front of the palace, you had lions. So Moshe walks up, and the lions approach Moshe and Aaron. And we'll pick up here, Bezalel Hashem, tomorrow night.